You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kinda Funny's XCU in Review. That's right. We are ranking and reviewing every movie in the X-Men cinematic universe. And guess what? This is the last episode
for that.
This is our final XCU movie until maybe next year.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Nah, oh,
for the Order of the Phoenix.
The Order of the Phoenix.
Is it fucking heat vision? Is it concussive blast? Nobody knows.
Well, the good thing is at some point they're just going to redo all these, so we'll just do it again.
Well, at that point it'll be MCU.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Hopefully.
Well, yeah, Andy's going to have to make the text even smaller.
Yeah.
On that one. It's going to be great.
Man, it's going to keep going forever. Ladies and gentlemen, this show happens every week, Thursday at 9 a.m. on YouTube.com/kindoffunny or on podcast services. Just search for Kinda Funny Reviews. As we end XCU Review, we're going to start up Spider-Man in Review. And it's going to be all of the non-MCU Spider-Man movies. So that will include...
Starting with...
The Sam Raimi trilogy.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3. Then...
Can't wait.
We're going to get into The Amazing Spider-Man and then The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Leading into Venom. I know a lot of people out there are like, oh, the XCU interview is weird because it didn't lead into anything. Well, guess what? Now we're leading into Venom.
Are we also kind of leading into the Spider-Verse movie?
Ooh.
Kind of. We will be adding into the Spider-Verse in this timeline as well.
Sure.
How bad do you think that shot's going to look when Peter Parker climbs up the building for the first time in the first
Spider-Man. When he does that thing where he goes, zing,
zing. Remember how it was like a cartoon?
He's in like that blue sweatshirt.
I can't wait.
Do you remember the one where he's swinging and it's clear that he's holding a mannequin?
I can't wait for this.
It's Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst is holding a dummy. There's like a Spider-Man like this and she's like,
and he's just like not moving.
The Green Goblin is the thing I'm looking forward to.
Willem Dafoe.
Me and MJ are going to have a hell of a time. I love Willem Dafoe. I'll say it right now.
You're not a coward.
It's crazy. I didn't realize he was James and Elise Williams' dad.
Yeah.
James and Elise Williams' dad.
That's how things work.
Do what you will with her, then bring her to the curb.
Andy Cortez, Tim Daddy's here. As always, the crew breaking these movies down. Today we are doing Deadpool 2. Released on May 18th, 2018, and my God, it feels like yesterday.
It does.
Directed by David Leitch, who I did not know. I was unfamiliar with him. Are you familiar with him?
John Wick,
John motherfucking Wick.
Well, one of the guys. I guess John Wick had like multiple directors.
He was co-director on John Wick. He was also executive producer on John Wick 2. Mm-hmm. He directed Atomic Blonde.
Yep.
Which I didn't see. Heard decent things about.
I enjoyed it. Nick set the bar so low. Like, it's just one thing.
It just was, like, story-wise, was a little bit of a mess. It was beautifully shot, though. Good
action.
Charlize
Theron.
That scene, that there's great action set pieces in
Really
Atomic Blonde. It's just the plot doesn't really... But we're not talking about that movie today.
He is also directing the upcoming Hobbs and Shaw movie.
Fuck yeah,
I'm pretty there. It's going to be
great. He's a great action director.
And that's the thing. So he was second unit director on Ninja Assassin, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, The Wolverine.
Ninja Assassin?
Have you seen Ninja Assassin?
Not
yeah,
that
dude.
Bad.
That's a bad
not
motherfucking
that
bad. Movie.
Was that in 3D?
Not that bad.
Like, was that in 3D?
Ninja Assassin was, in fact, in 3D.
Oh, man, yeah.
So I just saw pop up on Amazon Prime, and I'm like, I got to watch Ninja Assassin.
You should watch
it's
in 3D.
It's a dope fucking movie, man.
Okay. It makes it better.
I have a 3D TV.
Ninja Turtles 1 and 2, the Michael Bay ones. He was also second unit director on that for action scenes. Which, again, Civil War.
Y'all got jokes.
For that. So many jokes. But there's a common through line with all these, and they all have dope-ass action set pieces. So I thought it was a great call for Deadpool 2. I was looking into why they didn't just go with Miller from the first movie, because it was his like directorial debut and he kind of knocked it out of the park.
He got fired.
Screen Rant has some things here. Miller left the film over mutual creative differences with Ryan Reynolds, reportedly based on several factors, including Reynolds' expanded creative control over the sequel. Miller's wish for a more stylized follow-up than the first film versus Reynolds' focus on the raunchy comedy style that earned the first movie its R rating, and Miller's intention to cast Chandler as Cable. Who'd Chandler be?
Chandler Bing from Friends.
That's the only
Chandler I know, too.
There's no way.
You want a 74-year-old Matthew Perry to be better get jacked.
Did he kick the drug thing?
I don't think that's who they're talking about.
I'm going to look
about.
Into it. Try
I
to get
really
in.
Hope it.
Kyle Chandler, maybe?
I don't know. Yeah,
Kyle Chandler's a guy from Friday Night Lights, so maybe.
Maybe. Reynolds opposed. Fox ultimately backed its marketable star.
Kyle Chandler is what's popping up.
Yeah, that was my guess.
What does he look like?
How does he look?
He's
Friday Night Lights
terrible.
Guy. Friday Night Lights coach. TV show, Friday Night Lights.
I just can't picture it.
I'm hallucinating right now.
I said it right. I wish you paid attention to me sometimes, Miller. Just once.
I was just confirming.
I'm going to Kimura arm lock you.
Do it. Fucking coward. I'm not looking right now. Look at it. There it is.
Reynolds said that he could only add that he's sad to see Tim leave the film. Tim's brilliant and nobody worked harder on Deadpool than he did. A week after Miller's departure, Fox was looking at David Leitch, Drew Goddard, Magnus Martins, and Rupert Sanders as potential replacements for the director. Leitch was the strong front runner for the role and signed on a month later. Reynolds, a fan of John Wick, said the director really understands the Deadpool sensibilities and where we needed to take the franchise and can make a movie on an ultra-tight, minimal budget look like it was shot for 10 to 15 times what it cost.
And they did.
They did. Mm-hmm. This movie, a budget of $110 million, a box office of $733.2 million. Grossed over $733 million worldwide, making it the fifth highest grossing film of 2018, as well as the third highest grossing R-rated film and the third highest grossing X-Men film.
Wow.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty high accolade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The runtime, 1 hour, 59 minutes, but we watched the super duper cut with 15 more minutes of action-packed comedy thrills.
Totally worth it.
Totally fucking worth it.
I didn't. I missed that point.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't see that in any of the emails of what to do?
You didn't watch the link I sent you?
Couldn't make it work, so just bought it.
You just download it?
Didn't work. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what, I was trying to put in the PS4. It's like, nah.
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 Anyway.
Huh.
It's interesting because there are some things in this that are totally, like, we were talking over lunch. Originally, one of the jokes that I loved so much in the first cut in theatrical was a Hayukiya joke. But like they just nailed it every single time and it built and they just didn't do as much of it in this. Like it didn't, I was like, oh, that's sad. It was like a more touching thing between them than it was an actual
was
joke
like
that they had right through.
Yeah.
Which is strange.
Weird
the
call.
X-Force joke, I don't think was a setup either. Like there's a part like he eventually gets the part like X-Force. And that just wasn't, it kind of fell flat.
I only remember the X-Force joke once in this one.
In this one? No, they say
in the Super
times.
Duper cut, but I just remember that being more of a bigger joke in the original. I think it's because there's so much more in this that all the jokes just get brought down a little bit. But by virtue of there being a shit ton more of them, it's still funny. I like this cut.
I think that the biggest difference, in my opinion, was the scene where he is jumping on the back of the thing, pulls out his katana, and starts like getting shot by Cable. And like we got the scene from the trailer where he's like, "Your balls are fast."
Yeah,
and it was like it was that joke. Fucking was so good.
Different line delivery though than
totally,
from the previous.
Same
line.
That's pretty much what this movie, though, the Super Duper cut was just different takes on a lot of the jokes.
Yeah,
which having just watched this movie a couple months ago, I liked how different it was.
Mm-hmm.
Same tone,
yeah.
But just like kind of just here's an alt take on 90% of the jokes.
I forgot what the joke was in the original movie where he is trying to. He is cutting all those bullets. In the actual movie, he says something else. And we're
he
like,
goes, all right, come on, One-Eyed Will. And he cuts it in half, and then he gets shot a bunch, and he goes, ow.
Was it just ow?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I remember
in the movie theaters, it felt
wanting
flat.
Wanting to have the preview cut.
Yeah,
yeah.
Already for it.
And it sucked.
Yeah.
It was
and
a poor choice.
And then there was
choice.
Also, there was weird little setups, like the where he like fills up the soap thing, and he's like, oh, yeah, just fill it up. And later, we saw the joke where he's like,
to pay off the Colossus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that a lot of smart calls for the original cut of what they cut, but I loved all the action they added in this was so good. The there was an extended, the whole beginning scene, the world tour where you just go into a bunch of places and fucking people up. Every scene
was
a
longer.
Little bit extended,
and
especially the bath scene.
The bath scene, which
was,
I feel like it was much longer
and
way more gory.
The choreography was fucking dope as hell.
Because I don't remember.
People got fucked, man.
Yeah.
Heads just getting lobbed off left and right. Hot into it.
There was that, and then I think there was also some added stuff that they put in with Colossus, which I actually liked a lot because it gave them way more of a bromance. We actually kind of started feeling for them. You're like, he kind of fucked him over here, and now he's feeling bad, and I want them to be friends, which I thought was really good.
I think this is one of those cases where I don't think that the director's cut is better. It's not the director's cut. The extra long cut is better. It's just different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like alternate takes on it.
I think I liked it. It had a couple weaker moments. But overall, I enjoyed it more, especially at the very end with the last little thing.
Yeah. So there was the final, like in the post credits, you know how he goes back in time and stuff?
Yeah.
They added a scene where he goes back in time to kill a baby Hitler.
No, nice.
But he's super conflicted about it.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, this guy's like,
you would have liked it because he goes, he's testing. He's in a
nursery.
Like, he's trying to like psych himself up to do it. And he's like, Jesus, am I really going to do this? And he's like, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. It was so fucking good. It was so good.
Yeah. I seem to.
Did he kill Hitler?
No, it comes back in the very, very post sequence. He comes back and he's like holding him and he's like, I'm going to introduce you to my friend Cable. He's really into killing kids because he can't do it.
Yeah. There was an article that I read where. Later on, there was another part added onto that where all he does is draw a little mustache with a Sharpie, and he says some line. I don't really remember what it was. But yeah, I was really happy to see that part because that part was not in the original cut. I feel like I'm of a different opinion from all of y'all. Like, I just feel like I laughed just as much as I feel like the last one, but I still felt like so much of the comedy didn't hit. I felt like it was just everything in the kitchen sink just fucking nonstop jokes that I just was not finding humorous at all. And I don't know, just kind of, I felt like they were trying way too hard.
I feel like since the first one, I've like grown to appreciate his humor more, where he's randomly saying shit like Chimichangas and
Maximum Effort,
where I just kind of enjoy, like, that's his little quirks, that like that's who the character is, where it's, I get that some people from the comics are probably like, fuck yeah, like this is really nailing it. I feel like since the first one, it made more sense.
Mm. Yeah. My problem was, I think, just the whole seeing Deadpool and Vanessa cohabitate for what we do and set that up. It just, for me, just breaks it in so many ways. Because when he's with her, he's a normal dude. I mean, he's horribly scarred or whatever, and he has a raunchy sense of humor and all that shit. Okay, sure. But then to see him go the super Deadpool stuff is just like, oh, well, it's just weird to see you be a normal person, normal boyfriend.
I feel like he's the same person.
No, it's the same for me. We were talking about that over lunch, too, where I'm like, every time I feel like he's got the mask off, he's just a toned down, more realistic, more humanized version. And of course, it could just literally be because you're seeing his face that I feel like a more of a connection with him. But I'm with Greg on this. Like, every time you see the white eyes and the mask on, it's like, it's just crazy, like amped up Deadpool style, where it's just crazy, crazy line after crazy line after crazy line. And he's wacky and he's getting killed. And then, yeah, when you see him on the couch with Vanessa, or, you know, even when he's got the mask off, it's just a little bit toned down.
I think it is just because you see his face. Because, like, any scene of him talking to Colossus, mask on, mask off, it doesn't matter. It's the
but
same.
That's, yeah, I agree with that. No, totally. But I feel like when we introduce the Deadpool who's with Vanessa, mask off, it's just Ryan Reynolds. Way more normal. So weird.
Exactly. Possible.
Well, yeah, but then they undid it. So we'll see what they do in Deadpool 3. Hilarious. Yeah. If we get there.
Did they undo that?
According to them, yeah. They put out, there was an article up after release.
So that is canon,
like,
now?
They're like, oh, yeah, no, we totally undid the movie.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking brilliant. And I love it. He's like, good thing I sharpened the cream cheese spreader.
Yeah.
So fucking good. My least favorite part of this movie was the Vanessa stuff. I loved them in the first movie. Yeah. But me too. All of the weird fucking, like,
kiss me, like, miss me.
We're in the wall.
Oh, I like
you didn't like that?
That made me tear up at the end.
I don't like seeing him in a relationship just because, like, I want to see the crazy Merc Deadpool, not the, like, look at me be a normal person Deadpool. And so every time he, like, before she dies, like, that moment they have together, I was just like, all right, come on, let's get through this. And I really like the weird dream sequences that kind of, that to me is like, oh, like in the comics, where, like, he's in love with death.
I don't know. I just didn't like it. I felt like the first movie did a much better job of having the emotional through line of their relationship and the flashback scenes making sense of, like, here's what's happening in present time, but here's how we got there. I feel like this movie was like, oh, we're just going to repeat the exact same thing we did in the first one, but here's the new reasoning, and it's like she's dead and he's going into, like, seeing her in, like, limbo or whatever. I was like,
well, see, I liked it. And I felt like it wasn't necessarily, and not to get too philosophical, but I don't think it was like a literal, like, he's going into limbo and seeing her spirit. I think it was just as his body's dying, he's, like, hallucinating this, and this is what he's imagining. And
I think, like, he was going, I read it as he was going to heaven or purgatory or whatever.
Yeah,
you want to say.
I did too.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't read that far into it as far as, like, is this literal or is this not literal? I just liked it because it showed, like, he's actually really in pain and trying to kill himself. And I think you got a lot more of that in this, where I even think we got more scenes of him trying to kill himself.
Yeah, there was the whole sequence of him, like,
there was a montage of suicide attempts.
Which was really, really fucking sad.
And in the real movie,
it was fucked up.
In the real movie, there was no montage,
no,
right?
No. It just cuts him.
Yeah, that's what I liked about this, is that I really felt like that was, like, he was like, yeah, this is the one thing grounding me, like, grounding me in reality. Now that she's gone, I'm fucking, like, he's just totally lost. Yeah. And I liked it because it gave a lot of motivation for why he was so pissed off and, like, wanted to protect this kid now, too. Because, you know, I think that was, like, the meaning of his life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm legit, like, blown away by the whole, like, they undid the whole movie. Like, I didn't realize that was the case.
No, that's the fucking, that's like the most hilarious joke is that he actually fucking does it. He goes back and undoes it. It's great.
That's why, I disagree with you about the whole kitchen sink thing being bad. I like it because I feel like this movie, it's in one word, it's relentless. It's just constant. It takes the first movie and just ups the ante. And I feel like it succeeds where 90% of the time I get the reference, but 10% of the time, there's a reference I don't get, but I know it's a reference. And like I know that there's a joke somewhere that somebody laughed at. And there's some things that don't hit even for people that do get it. Like the dubstep stuff still is like,
although which they just they changed and actually made a joke about how dubstep's not relevant anymore, which I was like, oh, that makes more sense. And he's like, in the first one, remember, I think I turned to Andy. I was like, why are they like relying so much on this dubstep joke? That's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you can excuse it by saying, it's joke after joke after joke, so you can't really tell if the last joke bombed because the next joke's already hitting. But that's still, I still shouldn't, I don't think that's an excuse, like a legit excuse. I thought they tried way too hard. And I still laughed a lot. Like, I still enjoyed the movie quite a bit, but at the end, just like, God, they tried way too fucking hard.
Yeah. I feel like they succeeded way too hard. I think
they succeeded way too hard.
They did, man. I feel like this movie has no right to be as good as it is as a sequel to a movie that is so stylized. Like, and I love that they took what worked, they added on it, and I think that the cast of characters in this one is a lot stronger than the cast in the first movie. And like, yeah, Cable, he's fine, whatever, but when you add on all of X-Force, like, they're so fucking awesome. And the scene from the interview of them trying to get the team together all the way through to them parachuting out with fucking Thunderstruck playing and all that, I'm like, that is what Deadpool is all about. And I feel like the first movie never has that scene.
This is egregious.
It's fucking great.
Start dying, it's so good.
But yeah, I'll back that sentiment as well. I think you got a couple things in play here. One is that these people have played these roles before, and so they're gelled a little bit more as a cast, which I think is always one of the nice luxuries of these big comic book like tentpole movies, is that when they get to play them over and over again, they have that common sort of like, you know, you just feel that they have better chemistry together. One, and two, having just watched Deadpool, I think this is a more entertaining movie. I think like watching almost these movies back to back, I like the second one more, which I can't really say a lot for, you know, I can't say that about Iron Man necessarily. Yeah.
I just love I guess with part one, it felt so original and new. And this is what it would be like if they made Napoleon Dynamite 2. Like trying to recapture that lining in a bottle. And it's weird saying that because there were still plenty of times that I laughed at this movie, but I felt like, I felt like it was really badly paced in a lot of the beginning, to where I never knew when the movie was going to get going. and then it finally did, but it was like, we're 30 something minutes in, and I feel
the
like
the intro bit it's is just feels way awkward. Into the
awkward.
Movie.
Yeah, it feels really awkward, but I felt that even the original version, like in the theater, the theatrical version, but this cut even more so just felt like, oh, let's fit another scene here. Let's fit another joke in here. And it felt weird.
There's so many good moments in this
movie. There's so many good moments.
He fucking puts the cocaine up his mask and just slaps it.
Right before, when he opens that, and it's like 2 pounds of cocaine and the cure from blindness.
The cure for blindness.
Yeah. Because we're doing the XCU interview and having just watched Deadpool a couple weeks ago, there's so many references to the movie that like, it goes back to what I was saying a second ago. Like, if you know it's a reference to something, but you're not sure what, this movie references the first movie so often.
So much.
Colossus is, like, when Deadpool does the speech at the end, I didn't realize it was Colossus.
Four or five moments or whatever it was,
It's like, it's fucking awesome. And the cure for blindness and just a ton of different shit like that.
That was good.
Yeah, I was telling you guys at lunch, after rewatching both these movies, I firmly believe that Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool is the most perfect portrayal of a comic book character that we've ever seen on camera. And that's more than Logan with Hugh Jackman and Robert Downey Jr. As Iron Man. Then obviously those are fucking amazing. But Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. The character that he created in this movie, like, I just feel like it's even better than the comics.
It's weird to say, but I feel like he was like bored to play this role.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He gives a fuck.
What's crazy is someday this will be absorbed by the MCU. And God, if they're smart, they're going to keep Ryan Reynolds. And he's going to be making jokes about that. And it's going to be so great. Yeah, I can't wait for that.
You want to hit me with that plot, Greg?
Sure, fill in the gaps on what I fuck up from the movie I didn't watch. So we start on top of the gas tanks. Mm-hmm. Deadpool's sad. We get a Deadpool voiceover, whatever. Flicks cigarette up, blows himself up.
Love it.
Yeah, you do.
Well, first we get the click click with the Logan, like right off the bat, a Logan reference where he's like, he fucking died in his movie. Bullshit. I'm gonna die in this movie. Like, he stole my thunder, which I thought was great. fun little. That was the thing too. Is like this movie's so fucking self-aware, and Andy, to your point, it's almost too self-aware. Where you almost feel like it's a parody of a parody of a parody movie. You're like, where the fuck are we at here?
Anyway, my thing is, I don't, and this is, for everything we said here, I think I like Deadpool 1 better.
Okay.
With this one, I feel, this is my problem with the Deadpool movies, why I like the Deadpool comics more than I like the Deadpool movies, the Deadpool cartoon. I don't think he makes enough fourth wall breaking jokes of that. This, and it's also the same reason that the Vanessa line doesn't work for me in this movie, of like, he is Ferris Bueller from the end of Deadpool 1, but he's also still in this loving relationship with her, and it's like, it's never been established. Like, Deadpool in the comics is crazy, right? Or everybody thinks he's crazy because he acknowledges the fourth wall and talks to this and reads the thought bubbles and shit like that. But since Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool never goes that way, what does he, why does he care about anything? If he, does he know that it's all fake and he's in this world? Or does he know that, like, I'm never sure where his Deadpool's at. And I think for me, it's the reason why I'm like, whatever. Sidetracked. Blows himself up. Then we get back and it's, hey, he's been Deadpool. He's been living the dream here. He's been out killing all these people. And we get the world tour thing, which was shorter for me, obviously, but still that. Of running around killing all the guys in the bathhouse, lifting the little thing, the little loincloth. Scoutmaster Kevin.
Different, yeah, different joke there. Joke,
yeah.
I like that joke way more. Yeah, than, yours? I forgot what the... What the fuck did he say?
I don't remember what he said.
He said something about, you've been eating your something, haven't you? Like, alluding that he's healthy or whatever. But yeah, I enjoyed the Scoutmaster joke way more.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's bopping around, killing people, jumping through the glass, doing all stuff, fighting in the bars, woman's there, all the stuff. He's killing people. It's great. He's being Deadpool. And then we jump to him in a warehouse or whatever at home base. He's come back to our shores, chasing one guy's running in slow motion. The other guys are all getting blown up, shot
on fire.
What a fucking
cool scene.
Yeah.
I don't know how they shot that.
He's like, that guy's on fire. That's not CG. That's real fire.
Yeah. But the dude locks himself in a safe room. Deadpool's like, come on, it's my anniversary. I got to go. A whole bunch of more people, reinforcements show up. They're ready to kill Deadpool. We cut outside. Dopinder in his cab, listening to a Tony Robbins book on tape, which is funny. Just having a good... Dopinder, such a great character.
So good.
Deadpool runs in, jumps into the cab. Cab speeds away. Deadpool gets dropped off. He walks in. It's him, Vanessa again. He gives her a bunch of excuses. They go back and forth, and we get the "kiss me like you miss me" red. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great line. At the end, I choke up watching it.
I don't dislike the character. I just like some of the things they have her say. I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like it's too close to Ryan Reynolds' sort of like way he talks.
Cadence and like the scripting.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like it smacks of the same person wrote both characters, which I don't like. It's one of the things I don't like in comics when you're reading comics and if you just covered the image, just read the things, you're like, I don't know who's saying what.
Sure.
Because there's no actual defined role. I think I just don't love that. I don't love that back and forth, but I do like the character and I do like that she's his main motivation.
Sure. Yeah. It's their anniversary. Ryan Reynolds gives her he gives her the token thing from their first thing. It's the token from the skee ball thing.
100% lead or whatever it says.
Yeah, she kisses. That's not a good idea to do with lead. She gives him a box. He opens up. It's her IUD.
That's not a good thing to do with lead.
Yeah. True. And I like when he's like, it's an explosive. She's like, no, it's my birth control. They want to have a baby. Let's make a super baby. Let's watch some porn. They put on Papa, Can You Hear Me, which is the Yentl, right?
It's like, I never realized. He's like, nobody fucking realizes that's this is
they do a great job.
That was a good setup.
I loved exactly the setup of that. Of like, doesn't this sound familiar? And then, of course, bad guys break in. Deadpool kills all of them, but misses with the cream cheese spreader. Vanessa gets shot.
This next scene where he realizes she's dead. It's a fucking hard scene,
too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He screams. It's all done in like with like the music and the sound effects over it. And then you see him fucking jump out the window.
Oh my God.
Which turns it right, like the ding of the toaster strudel. And you see him like look over and it's like, now it's on. You know what I mean? He's done. This isn't where he's going. Yeah, go ahead.
Jumps out the window into the rain, right? The guy sees him, starts the car, crashes, and he runs at the fucking car and pushes the guy through, like goes through the window and pushes the guy out the other fucking door.
Yeah.
Then picks the guy up and you see him hug him and you're like, oh, he's accepting the fact that this guy's killed him and maybe he's turning into a loop and then just immediately steps into oncoming
fucking
traffic.
So brutal. Yeah. But again, it gives those two characters more emotional resonance than any other pair we've seen.
It's fucked up. I mean, that's the thing about Deadpool is you don't know if he's crazy or not. And that's, I understand your criticism of like when he's with her and he's grounded in that reality, he does come off like a real character. But like you see that he's a little psychotic, at least in this scene of like, then he goes on a tear of trying to kill himself, which, sorry, keep going.
No, you're fine.
Real quick, just to talk about him a little bit. I think that, like, the movie Deadpool is different than the comic book because Deadpool, because I've never thought he was crazy in the movies. You know, like I understand comics he's crazy. Yeah, and like in the movies, whenever he breaks the fourth wall, I feel like that's just Ryan Reynolds breaking the fourth wall to like talk to us. You know, it's not the character. Like if we were in that world, he wouldn't be actually breaking the fourth wall and saying something. Because I don't know that we've ever seen the people interact with him while he's like being like, what the hell are you talking about? Or something like that, you know?
Well, sure, because, but I mean, that's the thing, right? Their world's fake, right? In the first one, yeah, go over, talk to him, and maybe it'll advance the plot. Like, the whole thing is like a stage production to an extent of them, like, all being in their weird little fuck around world, which is what I'm saying. I feel like if you remove Vanessa from it, like, I felt like in Deadpool 1, it made sense of, I've gone through this thing and I'm crazy and I can't be killed and I'm weird. I'm an amped up version of the guy you saw hold up the pizza guy, right? Or not hold up, you know what I mean? Interrogate the pizza guy. And then to get here and have him be crazy, but then be grounded and want to have the baby. And it's like, all right, cool. But like, you were still just, you go around and kill people and get shot all the time. Yeah. Like she doesn't like, I don't know.
It's that's just the hard part for me to rectify as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, where it's like, you've got this guy the Deadpool we see at the end of the movie. Is he the Deadpool that would be excited about having a kid? It's very weird.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, whatever. I understand. It's a crazy fucking weird character anyway. So from the car accident, right, we go to the bar. Then we go and we're there drinking with TJ Miller's character. And you got to get out of here. You've been here forever. He turns to the guy next to him who can't get through his line. He's like, all right, no more speaking roles. they are breaking the fourth wall with the character.
Not before he decides to just, he's like, are you peeing yourself again?
Yeah.
Because you're making the face or you pee yourself. He's like, no.
I do like that. At least we still have Bowie.
So
this was when they were shooting this movie is when TJ Miller went under all the Me Too stuff. And one of the headlines underneath him when they're watching the news at the bar, the headline says Christopher Plummer respectfully turned down the Deadpool 2 role extended to him.
Oh wow, that's fucking
him
hilarious.
Taking over for Kevin Spacey in the other movie.
Yeah, all the money in the world. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that. Really that's funny. Really funny.
So they were gonna cat. Yeah, it's funny.
We're there. We're talking to TJ Miller. We're doing this. Dopinder's there. Dopinder wants to be he said this in the car already. He wanted to be a contract killer as well, right? And like, he's now under the tutelage of TJ Miller and all those shows.
When he said, you don't even have a superpower. And he was like,
oh, what's your superpower? Courage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, goddamn.
He's got that. You're such a pretty flower or something like that. I forget what's on the news? I don't remember what's on the news. Is this the news? Or what are you talking about? When does the newscast you're referencing come up?
I don't know. The news was at some point.
It was just on
in the
background behind
it. Doesn't matter. Okay. Then, we're back to Deadpool's going to blow himself up and kill himself. We caught up with that. He blows up. Maybe they did that before. No, they didn't. Explosion happens. We get caught up. Colossus comes. He collects all the parts, puts him in a bag, walks him back to the Xavier Institute for Gifted Mutants youngsters.
At some point we saw what's her name too, right?
Yeah,
the blind lady.
It cut over to he went to get the cocaine he starts trying to kill himself.
Scares the shit out of her.
Scares the shit out of her.
Oh, did you notice that she was listening to the thing Jared Petty was telling you about? Remember how Jared was telling you about the longest laugh that guy ever got? Your money or your life? I'm thinking she's listening to that.
Oh, I didn't
like
know
that's
that.
The laugh. And I wouldn't have ever caught it except you and Jared had a conversation in the back room about that stand-up comedian. Steve Allen, is that right?
Yeah, he was
talking to Steve Allen. She's listening to Steve Allen, which I thought was cool. Oh, yeah, we have that scene there. That's fun or whatever. And then he just leaves in the middle of it while she's talking because she can't hear him.
When she pulls the fucking gun.
But she points the rifle.
And he's just like, I was going to shoot you. Nah, you're going to shoot the refrigerator.
Blows himself up. Colossus gets him, drags him back to the Institute. There's probably a cutaway here, but I can't remember what.
Maybe Cable?
Cable. Yeah, we probably jumped to the future, right?
We've also seen the kid. We're seeing the kid a lot, right?
Russell.
Yeah, because I don't know if you saw that.
No, we don't see Russell till we get to where we're going to go from the X-Mansion.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because I think in the extended cut, we got more stuff in the orphanage.
In the orphanage. But
of him being tortured and all that stuff.
He hasn't been brought into the orphanage yet, I don't think. Because it cuts over, and then we see Cable like picking up.
My version, Cable, you jump to the future. Cable walks into his burned out, blown up house. You don't really know what's going on. Picks up the teddy bear. Yeah, there's the charred corpses of what will become his wife and kid.
Mm-hmm. And he looks like a bad guy at this point.
Sure.
Then he takes off his like cape thing, and that suit is so dumb.
Yeah, it's a dumb suit, but it looks a lot like
Green Lantern's suit, but not CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, he dials himself back there, whatever, right? Sees all the stuff, sees the X-Jet, jumps back in time. Then we jump back to the Xavier Institute. Deadpool's sitting on the couch, laying on the couch in his, or his just outfit or whatever. Colossus comes in to give him a pep talk. He doesn't want to hear it. He climbs in the Xavier's chair, drives himself around, very cute, very cool, knocks over a bunch of stuff. Eventually bitches about the studio still not being able to afford enough people in it. The door opens, or we cut to the side shot or whatever, and then the current X-Men are in there, whatever. The current being like, you know, the
first class. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're all there. Cyclops, Beast.
Quicksilver.
McAvoy.
Just quietly close the door.
Yeah. Very funny.
So fucking funny.
Colossus grabs him, is like, you know, fucking get it together. We got to sort the shit out. Yada, yada, yada. You're Deadpool. You're a superhero. Do we meet Yukiko here?
In the extended version, you do.
Okay.
I'm not sure about the original one, but there's a lot more of the two of them. It's like, oh, this is my girlfriend. And then, like, there's like extended scenes of like their dialogue. And
sure.
Some of it's funny. Some of it's not.
Yeah.
I thought the kitchen scene was extended.
Yeah.
Where they make the joke about the soap. But there's that part where he's just playing this character and she's like, he's totally fucking with us. And you're like, maybe he's not fucking with us. And as he leaves, he's like, he just looks around and just like, fuck you.
So that was good. Right before they leave to go
get the kid.
This is when we see on the news, yes, there's a crazy thing happening. We got a mutie tearing up this fucking school over here. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody in the jet. Jet flies over there. We get there. Yeah. What's the kid's name?
Russell.
Russell's there tearing up a school. He's shooting out fire.
They give him a fucking like JV football like
jersey training,
but it doesn't fit because it doesn't go over his swords.
So fucking good.
I just love that he's hella into it, just totally fucking with everyone. Like, I'm an X-Man, trainee, whatever.
Yeah, it's
fucking great. Yeah. The kid, so his name is Russell. He's Fire Fist
as an X-Man. Yeah.
But in the comics, he was Shatterstar.
Oh, okay.
So the character they later introduced.
Ah, okay.
And they make fun of his name. He's fucking dumb.
Shatterstar, yeah.
We land there, Colossus, supersonic teenage nuclear, whatever the fuck, and Deadpool come up upon him. Russell ain't having it. They talk to the cops for a while. It's kind of fun or whatever. Again, making a reference to what X-Men being a dated civil rights analogy or whatever, and then fist bumps the cop.
By the way, it's noted that like we did get a lot more in the orphanage than we did in this. Like in the original movie, I was like, it's weird this kid, like I didn't
just get out of nowhere.
Yeah. This kid out of nowhere is just pissed. And in this cut, you really do see him get like tortured, and all the other kids are fucking hating. And it's the Essex Corp.
There's a scene before we get the X-Jet coming in where we see Russell get brought into the orphanage and like kind of experimented on. Branded.
In the theatrical version, they show him bring him in, and we get that creepy speech from the like dude that's running it. And in the extended,
which is the thing that he mirrors later when he kills people, right?
He says,
"Set you free," or whatever.
Judged by my hand, or something like that.
Something wicked. Anyways, and in the extended version, we get to see him being experimented on to try to like suppress their powers. I don't know what they were doing. Looked like he was just burning his neck with a.
Yeah, I mean that's what you see that in the regular version. Like, I mean, not the end.
I'll be fucking honest though. This is one of the scenes. This fucking had a line in it. That's one of the funniest lines. When he talks about the guy that looks like Jared Kushner, but he talks about his secret sex lips.
Yeah.
That was in the
That's in the real version.
It's fucking hilarious. It's like, which one? Secret sex lips.
That guy looks so, like, reminds me so much of Mr. Steve Sinister.
Buscemi? That was Steve Buscemi, man.
Yeah.
That was
like fucking Steve Buscemi. Like, they made it clear his name is Daniel. They have the one moment where he, like, calls him something else, and he's like, I'm Daniel.
Yeah.
Well, he looks like the kid who plays Zeitgeist. He looks
Is the kid that played Zeitgeist the It guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Is he?
The one of the brothers.
Skarsgård, one of the Skarsgård.
Yeah, Alexander Skarsgård.
Oh, shit.
Well, I don't know. Something Skarsgård, yeah.
He looks weird when he's not done up like a fucking psychotic clown.
Yeah.
You mean he looks normal?
Yeah. Sorry.
Kid keeps tearing up the thing. I already forgot his name again.
Russell.
Russell. Rusty. Remember? From Seinfeld when the horse keeps farting. Anyways, Russell's tearing up the fucking shit. He pushes back nuclear warhead, throws a Colossus into the fucking news truck. Deadpool comes over. It doesn't go well. He gets burned for a while. They're talking. They just talk. Everybody's like, you know, just fucking stand down kind of shit. And he's like, I'm not going to stand down. I'm doing all this other shit. And then he's like, you know, Deadpool's talking to him. And then I forget, do they clasp him here? But eventually it's revealed that, these guys are bad guys. The secret sex lips and the warden are not good people. to which, yeah, Deadpool starts giving the hero speech, right? 4 or 5 moments, that's all it takes. And then he fucking shoots the secret sex slips, guys. Tries to shoot the warden and misses. Very un-Deadpool. And then Colossus runs in and tackles him down and like, I stood up for you. What the fuck, man? Yada, yada, yada. As I said, they've already put the clasp on Russell and they put it on Deadpool. This will inhibit their powers. They're all going to the icebox. They keep teasing this icebox because you can go back to school and you go to the icebox. Icebox is better, says the kid. They're all shipped up to the icebox. Here, I'm just going to insert for shits and gigs, even though I think it probably is where it happens. Cable jumping back into our time frame out in the middle of nowhere. We got two hillbillies drinking. One of them's that guy everybody loves, that actor I can never remember the name of.
Alan Tudyk.
Thank you very much. It's him.
Tudyk.
And Matt Damon.
That's Matt. No way.
No fucking way.
That is not Matt
the
Damon.
The guy on the
really?
Left is Matt Damon.
Yeah. Damn. Brad Pitt later.
And Brad Pitt. Yeah,
oh,
Brad
holy Pitt shit. I had no idea. Yeah, I knew that was Alan Tudyk.
He's not even credited.
I get so hung up on insane. Alan that I didn't even do that or whatever. He's talking Matt about the Damon toilet paper wipe.
He's like the most fucking cameoed actor in every Marvel movie here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
We had a different set of jokes for...
oh, yeah? It's not the toilet paper stuff?
It's not. I mean, it ends up being very similar, but it was just... Like,
it was a long lead.
It was very long.
I really enjoyed it. It was like, what do you do? Like, he was just talking shit about toilet paper. He's like, what if you get a little bit of shit on your face? You're not going for the toilet paper. It was really funny.
He goes about the baby wipes. Yeah, and then you fall back over some more toilet paper. Just make sure you're clean.
Moisture.
So good.
Cable walks up, zaps both of them, takes the truck and the Budweiser, and is on his way.
And then a very, like... unnecessary use of
the balls,
the fucking song that's from Guardians too. The
little song.
If you like pina colada, yeah,
Margaritaville.
It plays for like 5 seconds, and then it's just over. I was like, that seems like a weird use of
that
licensing.
Happened like twice in this movie. Where I feel like later on in one of the fight scenes, they start playing
a song and then take it away.
Yeah. The final walk up to the slow motion, the in slow motion, the final walk up to where they're going to challenge SX Juggernaut. School.
What song plays there for you in the original cut?
I swear to God, it was some rap song I've never heard.
Yeah, see, for us, it wasn't rap song.
It wasn't.
Right?
It was dumb. It was so bad.
It was very bad. What was it, though?
It was like turn Total Eclipse of the Heart or some shit like that, right?
No,
that's later.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway, sorry to get. Yeah, but when that part happened, I was like, "This is really bad," and it ended quick too. But I was like, "That's so pointless." I don't know.
So we're up at the icebox. Old Raymond and Deadpool are hanging out together, right? They're up
Everybody
there.
Everybody loves it.
They got their fucking powers all inhibited by these collars. And Raymond's like, guess what, guys? I got to go after the biggest dude here. I'm going to make him my
like,
Raymond. That's the biggest dude. It's his brother.
The Juggernaut.
Deadpool's succumbing to the cancer. That's what's riddling his body. He'll get one step closer to Vanessa. In the prison wallet is the pen he stole off from somebody's desk. He's going to use that. This will keep coming up over and over again. We're just going to knock out a whole bunch of stuff. Eventually, we go downstairs to lunch or whatever, and like he's going to make you the biggest bitch. These guys just fucking punch the kid in the face, fuck up the kid. I like that a lot. They stab Deadpool in the hand with the pen. They beat the shit out of Deadpool. They both go back up to their rooms. Deadpool's all fucked up, and he's like still just dying. And he's very mean to the kid. Like, I can't help you. Kid, of course, being a kid, doesn't understand. Deadpool's grieving.
Yeah.
Deadpool doesn't have time for this. He's, you know what I mean? Suicidal. Exactly. He doesn't want to have any piece of this. But Raymond, over and over again, just continue on. Find the biggest guy in the yard. Deadpool's like, he's down there in that little holding cell down there. Good foreshadowing. He says this too. Foreshadowing. All that shit's happening. Meanwhile, we jump back. Cable seeing it on TV. He's been drinking his Budweiser, having, you know, flashes back.
Just chilling out. Building
his
life.
Yeah, building his gun. Reassembling his gun. Yeah, being Cable stuff. And Josh Brolin looking great.
Jacked.
Do you want to rank these abs?
Dude, rank those fucking abs.
Were they born in labs? Now it's time to rank those abs.
Welcome back to the Rank Those Abs podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Nick Scarpino, alongside to my immediate left, Tim Geddes. Tim, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Now, I have not been keeping track, unlike Ragu Bagu, of all the abs. But I will say, I think these are pretty close to top on the list for the X-Men.
It's all a variation. It's all a variation. Hugh Jackman, but...
Hugh Jackman still, I think, gets the
top. He's the number one.
He's number one for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Probably number two also. I'll throw Josh Brolin in there, though, at... We'll say number four.
I just want to give him a hard shout-out. Here's the thing. He has special abs. You know what I mean? Like, you expect him from Hugh Jackman. You didn't necessarily expect him
from him.
He's
got old man abs, and that's
like,
not easy.
I want to give him the same type of shout-out that we gave to Paul Rudd, where it's like, you just don't expect him. Then you see him shirtless, and you're like,
Now, see, I will say this. I expected them because for some reason I follow Josh Brolin on Instagram. Mm. And when he started working
out, he's good on Instagram.
He is not afraid to post naked shots of
the
himself.
The lead up to this. Jacked. Yeah, it was almost better than the movie. Also, just the lead up of Josh Brolin on Instagram.
Love his fucking hair.
It's not true at all. The movie was way better than the movie.
His hair is fucking dope. I mean, do you want to just get into it?
His hair is great.
Is it a wig? Wait, is it a wig?
No, we'll not at all.
I don't know. Wigging out with Scarpino.
Not that I can think of any wigs in this movie.
Oh my God. Somebody on the subreddit today or on Twitter was talking about how there was terrible wigs all over this movie.
Which one?
I don't fucking know. I don't pay attention.
Maybe Yukio.
No, they got him, guys.
I'd say Yukio is probably the only bad wig, but it's not even a bad wig.
Shout out to his fucking hair, though.
Fucking his hair was so dope as hell.
Awesome hair.
He's a fucking good future haircut.
Yeah.
Good looking.
Yeah, good future haircut.
Yeah.
But also, shout out to Josh Brolin fucking killing this summer. Both MCU and XCU. Oh, yeah.
They make a joke about this, right? He calls him Thanos at one point. It's great. Dude.
What other wigs could there be that
Josh is talking about? I might be wrong because remember we're filming out of order, so they might be talking. What's next? If we're recording this, what post next?
Logan or Apocalypse?
Yes, I don't know. Probably Apocalypse.
That's right.
Yeah.
I get it. Gotcha.
So he sees the news report of the mutant. He knows what's happening there in the icebox. He's gonna head to the icebox to fuck some shit up. He's Josh Brolin. At the icebox, they're there. They're doing their thing. Guess what? Josh Brolin breaks in. It's guess what? I'm here to get everybody. I'm here to kill. You think for a long time he's there to kill Deadpool. He's looking at his little thing. It's popping up. It's showing Deadpool and the kid because it's reading their stuff.
I thought that was fucking cool, by the way, because like he blows a hole through the wall, right?
Yeah.
Walks over, grabs a bunch of cables, and then like interfaces with the computer and it pops up, which I didn't catch the first time. I was like, that's really, really cool. No idea what Cable's mutant power is, though. Does anyone know?
Cyborgness.
Telekinesis. It's not cyborgness. That's the technovirus.
Being serious.
He's telekinetic, and I think he might shoot one laser out of his eye.
So Cable is fucking weird. Who the fuck knows? It's never really clear because he's one of those like weird guys where it's like his canon changes a bunch.
Am I crazy thinking that his lineage is he's one of the Summerses?
This comes from Screen Rant.
No, he's sorry.
Technically, Cable, aka Nathan Summers, is the son of Scott Summers and Jean Grey of the X-Men. The mutant child was born infected with the virus, turning half his upper body into metal and sent into the future to be cured. There's just one thing about the technically. He's the son of Scott Summers. He's the son that Scott Summers had with Madeline Pryor, the woman he married after Jean Grey was presumed gone, and a genetic clone of Jean. Everything worked out in the end, though, so we can all be thankful that Deadpool 2 stopped short of suggesting the same origins bound to unfold and produce Cable. Or does it? Keep your eyes peeled after the X-Force descends into disaster during their first mission, and you'll notice the streets filled with civilians partially gathered around a neighborhood ice cream van. The name on the van is Pryor Treats. So we'll leave the fans to decide what that joke is being played at here beyond the idea that Madeline is the heiress to a modest ice cream fortune. And as every fan of Cable's past in the X-Men corner of Marvel's mythology knows, it's hard to explain his importance without also shifting the focus to Cable's adopted daughter, Hope Summers, the mutant messiah. We won't dive too deeply into the lore of Cable and Hope and simply say that on a broad level, the version of Cable in the film could be the exact same as the comics. That was the hope that when fans spotted the teddy bear on Cable's waist, taken as a sign that this version was also the future father of Hope Summers, the first mutant born after their kind had been wiped out in the future. I'm just
that answers
it.
That.
Mm-hmm. He's actually a really, really powerful mutant, but what?
Nothing.
But he's like his similar to Deadpool, where like his mutation is fighting the disease that like
the metal shit.
Yeah, it makes him a lot weaker.
Cool, Greg. Can I get some recap juice? Thank you very much.
Recap juice. Cool,
everything's Greg better when you drink the juice. they blow up the cell, and Deadpool's like, that was our cell. So he starts to piece together that little Jimmy, he won't leave Deadpool alone. He's still running, and he's like, go away. And little Jimmy's like, I won't. No, we're a team.
Raymond.
Raymond's like, we're a team. We won't do this. And so, like, eventually, fucking Josh Brolin lands in front of him, and he's just like, what's up, Raymond? And it's like, no, it's about you. And it's very, very much like Terminator. You know what I mean? Very good. It was a swerve of the tomb Terminator 2.
I'll be honest. For me, Cable's the weakest part of this movie. I don't like any of the action sequences that involve him like beating people up.
Really?
I just felt like the
magnetic
the
gun and the fucking pushback.
There's a lot of parts. There's parts where he fights like five cops that takes a really long time because he's like, I'm going to grab your arm, then twist it, then hit you, then twist your arm again, then twist you.
A lot of it does look like a little too slow because it is Josh Brolin doing it. And I got the same vibe.
I like it. I wish there was more of Cable. If honestly, if I'm being honest, like one of my down parts of this is like when they, and I, it's part of a joke, I know, because they just kill them all, but like all the X-Force guys, like that's a fun thing of introducing them and then them dying. But it's just like Domino's, like I would have rather have been like, dump all of that. Don't put Terry Crews in there. Like, and don't get me wrong, there's funny bits. I do enjoy fucking when I, whatever, Paul or whatever the dude's name is, and he gets barfed on and his arm falls. Like, it's funny. Like, Peter. It's funny. I'm not taking away, but like, in terms of a cohesive story, I would have rather seen way more of Cable. Like, I was actually, again, like, kind of was like, what's happening next when I'm watching? I'm like, oh, right. And then, like, Cable shows up to join up, and like, that's cool. I would have gone for more of that, honestly. Like, yeah, I liked Cable as a character.
Maybe that's why I didn't care for him that much, because I didn't like poorly his backstory used. Is just like, what is the future like, awesome or bad? It's living in a dope apartment though, so it looks kind of cool. Yeah, but then there's also the weird purple light that we always see from Apocalypse, where it means like or shit's going down outside. Yeah. What's going on with this future? Is it bad? Is it good? What do you do in this future? Are you a cop? Are you not a cop? What's happening? I don't know.
Is it good? I don't know. Looking at timelines with Scarpino.
Welcome to Looking at Timelines with Scarpino. What the fuck is going on in this future?
I don't know.
So yeah, I thought I like Cable. I like the fight here. I like him going at Deadpool and then
the
fight.
DC reference was so good,
right? Yeah. Well, we skipped over one earlier, a great DC reference, right? Of like when he comes into the house, and I think it's the same year.
I'm Batman.
Well, there's that. No, no. Well, for Cable, sorry, I'm Batman. And then when he comes in the house, and he's like, oh, I got into a fight with this guy, but it turned out both of our mothers were named Martha. Like, that's great. Yeah, totally. Great. Keep dunking on him. Eventually, though, they're fighting. I think a shot goes awry and grazes Deadpool's collar, thus giving him back his abilities. He falls off and gets his back broken in a gruesome fucking way.
Goddamn.
Right, yeah.
This is one of those shots of these movies you're just like, oh.
Yeah. But then his superpowers are back and he's fighting more and they're all having a good fucking fight and they're yelling at each other. I think this is where the Batman thing happens because now Deadpool's back to being Deadpool.
Who are you?
He gets strangled with his own arm.
Yeah, he starts trying to strangle Cable with his arm. Yeah.
Deadpool's,
eventually, they get blown out. Raymond's listening. Here's Deadpool be like, yeah, I don't fucking care about the kid. You're an idiot. And then the kid walks away, and then Deadpool's like, what does this do, by the way? It's like, oh, no, it's a grenade. And they get blown out the back window or back wall, and Deadpool fucking gnarly hits his head on the fucking rock.
Man, I hate that moment.
Cable uses his metal arm to stop himself. A lot of great Winter Soldier jokes about the metal arm as well, too.
Now, did he say fuck the kid just as a distraction, or do you think he meant it at this point?
I think he meant it as a distraction.
Yeah, right.
I think it was very much like, no, the kid, don't worry about the kid. I don't think he's like, you know, understanding the importance of the kid or anything, whatever. He falls in the ice. Cable stops himself. Deadpool falls in the ice. We have another flashback to Vanessa in heaven where your heart's not in the right place. You know, kids are give us a chance to be better than ourselves. Oh my God, it's about the kid. He pops out. He's cold. I'm just giving you the high level stuff. What you need to know. You know what I mean?
I love it, Greg. I love it.
Thank you very much.
He did look cold.
He goes back to home base to circle the wagons with TJ Miller because he knows he's got to stop Cable. He's got to save this kid and he's got to get a team together. We'll get to that in a second. Keep a pin in that. I have question marks here in my head as to what Cable does here and why he doesn't immediately just go back up there and kill the kid.
That was my big question.
They fell super far.
That was my big question when we reviewed this movie. Why wouldn't he just walk right back up? Because he had no problem chewing through all the guards in this.
It's a 2-hour walk and now they're at high alert.
For some reason, he doesn't do that. He goes off and fucks off and does Cable stuff. Meanwhile, back in the penitentiary, kid's got to find the biggest man. There's a distraction. He runs in there and gives food to who will turn out to be the Juggernaut. We're just going to spoil that. They're moving everyone out of the icebox, by the way, too, because it's like compromised.
He's like, we got to have some sort of call. How about call?
No, stupid. That kid's great.
Yeah, he did a great job.
At some point in the movie, I was reading just like Easter eggs and stuff. I don't remember this, but the kid references Juggernaut's backstory and like his family and why he has the...
Walking into the house. Cab's pulling up and they're walking in to do it. He's like, so you have that thing, you wear the helmet to block out your brother, da, da, da. And he's
totally
like, yeah,
missed that. Yeah. So the brother is Charles Xavier.
Exactly, because Juggernaut says something like, yeah, but he got the short of the stick, he's in a chair or something like that.
Totally missed that. But like in addition to that, later when Deadpool is talking to Juggernaut, he's like, I'm such a big fan, and he starts rattling off different issues. Those issues have to deal with the brother situation with Xavier.
Cool.
Yeah.
TJ Miller and the one and only Deadpool are gonna get together a super team to go out and fight. Oh yeah, no, I'm right.
Can I get back on LinkedIn?
Funny line. Then we start auditioning everybody. They all come with their headshots. My favorite one is the just when Paul shows up or whatever, and it's like, hey, like, am I getting catfished here? Because it's like all their professional actor headshots they're bringing in, and then it's them in these character roles.
I just fucking love the scene.
Delaney so much, from Twitter, right?
Yeah.
That's how he sort of rose to fame, that actor. He was just like funny as fuck on Twitter. He was one of the OG funny dudes on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's how he eventually rose up, and he was on like a Hulu show and stuff like that. But the extended cut had, I think, some of the best jokes in this moment that the original cut didn't. Was like, oh, you have a type 1 and type 2 diabetes? He's like, man, you have all the diabetes, huh? He's like, let us know if you find a 3. That wasn't the original one. I laughed so fucking hard at that.
The vanisher bit was so funny because it was easy. It's just like, oh, you're a vanisher, you're whatever. But when they cut to later in the plane, and it's just the fucking thing.
That's so funny. Good.
And then it's Brad Pitt.
Yeah, brilliant.
For a total of like half a second, they show his face.
Love it.
I like the argument between Domino and Deadpool if Lux is superpower or whatever. And I'm just going back and forth.
I hate, like, that is the one joke in it where I'm like, ugh, why did it make this so long? Mm. But like where they go the back and forth. Thing. Like, it is, it isn't, it is. Yeah. I hate that moment.
She's so lucky.
There's so much of that, though, in this movie.
Yeah, but that's the one they just hate.
Zeitgeist, I think, is a funny thing, too, of like, oh, you control in the moment? No, I spit acid venom. Oh, okay. You want to see? No, we believe you. That's good. So, now we're on the move. We're moving all the people out of the icebox, the trucks in transit.
Dude, some of the worst CGI I've ever seen in a movie. There's two scenes in this movie. The Prius later that goes into the fucking gas station.
That was weird.
And the entire transport in the mountains. I'm like, I understand the budget of this movie's low, but like, but why even use those shots?
Just show it on the bridge. That would have been enough. Like,
we would have been good.
Yeah.
Is this where you get him kidnapping DJ Miller?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They leave.
To go do their mission. Yeah, and then Cable grabs TJ Miller. Another really funny.
Your
people think you know pain, but you don't know.
It's like, I'm gonna stop you right there.
I'm gonna bend something first, and then break.
We're not even gonna get step two. We're not even gonna get step one. I'll tell you whatever you need to know.
I also get nervous erections. Don't look at it. It makes it worse.
that was really fucking funny.
I love it because it harkens back to that TJ Miller character. That line he had, the great one he had in the first one. He was like, "I'd come with you, but
I don't want to. I don't want to." Now Cable knows the whole plan.
And like when they come back to it after the sequence, where he's like, "Listen, I'm not gonna lie. Cable, he kidnapped me and he threatened to torture me, and I told him everything.
There was also did we skip past the scene where they have the plan in crayons and they're going?
It's all happening at the same time.
I fucking love that shit though. That was just so fun. I loved all that was where I thought they broke the fourth wall in some really interesting ways of just being funny and like joking about plot. It's like, and if we do it right, no, we don't need a third act.
That's great. They're in the plane. They're all ready to jump. There's all these jokes about high wind advisory, but whatever. And they all jump out and he pushes. I love how everybody jumps out and then Peter like sits down to get into a pool kind of thing. That was great.
What's the line? I remember laughing really hard in theater. And it was at the line where Domino asks Deadpool something, and Deadpool goes, "Well, we won't have to blah, 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 will we, Peter?" And he's like, "I didn't ask
that." I didn't say anything. That wasn't me.
He was like, you know, I always thought X-Men was a little bit, you know, gendered or whatever, so we are X-Force. And then she gives her opinion. He'd like totally. Yeah. Because she's a woman.
In our cut, I don't know if it was in the first one, he like yells at Peter, then he gets focused.
He does that too. I'm just doing it to look tough in front of the other guys. That's great. And then they jump out and they do the whole thing where it's Thunderstruck and they go into the X as they fall. It's fucking great. So and then, they all pop their chutes and all get blown off course and rip their arm and all this fucking shit. And Deadpool lands on a sign and then he just gets to narrate everyone else's destruction, which is fucking hilarious, right? Terry Crews slams into a bus or whatever. Acid guy lands and then, or not even yet. He comes in. Yeah, he lands in the wood chipper. Peter lands totally fine. Domino's lucky, so she's fine. Yeah, Vanisher hits the fucking power lines and
Star lands on a helicopter.
Yeah, he's just gone. It's green blood everywhere. He is an actual alien. It's fucking great. When Peter tries to save fucking Zeitgeist, he spits all over his arm, burns him, and kills him. It's fucking great.
Again, another one of those, like, what a fucking great choice. Because it's similar to like how they just retcon the entire movie at the end, like the fucking post-credit scene. When we saw this in the theater, I was like, they're gonna kill all of them right now. That is fucking hilarious. Yeah. You got Terry Crews in the movie for five fucking seconds.
And then when he retcons everything, he only saves Peter.
He saves Peter!
He could have just been like, hey guys, let's not do this!
It does make me sad though. Like, as creative and as like smart and cool of a choice that is, I really wanted to see like Terry Crews and them like interact and stuff.
I'm good.
Yeah, but
I'm
also good. Like, there's no way. Just wait for Crackdown 3. You'll
it's
get
also like kind of a meta commentary that he picked a bunch of fucking dumb mutants. Like a bunch of people that use powers you don't give a shit about, because that's kind of always the way it is in the X-Men universe.
Yeah.
And then he immediately kills him. Fucking great.
So, yeah, Domino has eyes on the prize. She's still making her move. Deadpool tells everybody they're dead, then steals the moped scary. While they all freak out about the Brad Pitt's character falling completely like, yeah, engulfed in flames.
Nope.
Nope.
There's something funny about Deadpool on a fucking scooter.
Sure, of course.
Well, a red scooter matches.
Good lord.
And so, yeah, then as he's like telling Domino it's all impossible or whatever, she fucking is awesome and just lands. That's when you're like, this character's fucking rad. This this is like one of the best overall sequences in the movie.
Shout out to Zazie Beetz. She's just like,
she's great.
Zazie
yeah.
Beetz, dude.
She's great. And like all the, I really loved the creative ways they do stuff here, right? Of like, I mean, I'm jumping way ahead, but like when she falls out, right? And it's that thing of like for a second of like panic and then she sees like the thing, she's like goes limp and lands in the panda and stuff. It's fucking awesome.
Everything sort of leads into one another where like this, the spinning rearview mirror ends up blinding
exactly. Yeah, it's very Final Destination.
Yeah.
Where you see something and it comes into play later on.
But I feel like they did a good job keeping the, like, it started spinning maybe 10 seconds before it actually affected.
Yeah, it wasn't right back
to back.
And
it was like, you for a moment, you're like, forget about it. And then the light hits and you're like, oh, it's right, it was spinning.
Right.
But does that just mean she can never be beat? Is that her power?
No, everyone's luck runs
still
out.
Lost. Yeah, I mean, because like they failed at their mission to save
Russell.
She is
Beats.
Yeah.
What?
He's green.
Zazie Beetz.
He's like, she can never be beat. I was like, no, but she is Beetz. All right,
that's good joke. Get out.
It's because Tim Lee
is a good joke, Nick.
Get on our level.
Get on the level.
Get on his level, man.
Get on our fucking level.
Right. So yeah, they eventually. She's driving. Deadpool gets on the thing. Cable's there. They're all. She had fired the tank into Cable. He's doing this thing. He's just letting mutants fall out the sides and die from their fucking little vantage points or whatever. Meanwhile, Raymond's in there. He's working on trying to get out, and he's using his little shit.
It's a little butt pen.
Gets a little butt pen. Deadpool starts fighting Cable or whatever. I enjoy how positive Domino is to Deadpool so many times, and so you're doing a great job.
X-Force. I like when he asks her to help, and she's just like, all right, and like throws something, and it just perfectly. What a cool character.
Lady Luck take the wheel when she gets up. That's really good, too. We got the thing, Deadpool spinning his blades like he did in X-Men Origins Wolverine. Getting the one thing, One-Eyed Willy, a Goonies reference, then he gets shot a bunch. She does, isn't line in my cut. It wasn't the line we wanted. In your cut, it was, but it was different.
Differently, it was read different.
Interesting.
Still, I still enjoyed it. And I was happy that it was that line, not the shit.
Meanwhile, big bad Beluga himself, Raymond, he's out of his fucking tank over there, and he swims over. I'm really committing to him being some kind of fucking
an aquatic,
aquatic mammal.
Okay,
he goes over there and he lets out Juggernaut. Juggernaut pops out. Oh my god, it's Juggernaut, bitch. Oh my god, and we're also, it's Juggernaut. And they all freak out, and it crashes, and then we get the line from Deadpool, when he's like, oh my god, Juggernaut, huge fan, this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah. And then Juggernaut just walks over, because I'm going to rip you in half now, and rips him in half. So fucking good.
And then the kid's like, he's like, don't go with him. Russell, you're good. I do care about you. And the kid flips him off and then does the mind rope thing, which he's really good at.
He's like, what are you doing?
He's like, what are you doing?
That's not a real rope.
He just walks away.
I really liked, I said, I liked how Lady Luck, or no, Domino had, fallen into the panda. I like, too, that when she comes around and sees it's Juggernaut, she's like, woo. I don't have enough luck to fight him. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I will say, that this is one of the points where I wish they had, an extra $20 million lying around, because the Juggernaut just did not look that great.
Voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
When they pull his pants down and stuff later, it looks kind of cartoony.
It doesn't look great, but I feel like it's the best we've ever seen the actual character look compared to.
You didn't like Vinny Jones' fake arms in X3?
I don't remember that name as a character.
Vinny Jones? No, the actor's name.
I mean, the actor, yeah. I don't know. Who is that?
It sounds made up. The guy from Snatch, but it sounds made up.
They also have the line where he's like, what does he have that I don't have? And he's like, and don't say legs!
I know. He says something else like legs. I knew you were saying it still hurts.
Yeah.
That was good.
Such good comedy,
Yeah. That's happened, and so Domino scoops him up, right? And carries him back to Al's, whatever.
He's
looks like 3PO. He drops him back at Al's. Cable's not dead, of course. He wakes up in the destruction of this shit, and he's like,
he does that thing.
God, we go back, and it's just, we get the shirt that you're just shirt dicking it.
I feel like there has to be something in between it, but yeah, we end up at Al's. And so he's there and his little dick hanging out.
He's wearing Chunk's shirt from Goonies.
Very nice. That's very cool. Yeah, everybody reacts to it, of course. Domino walks in and reacts, just reacted to his face. That was a funny joke. She's never seen Wild's mask.
I like the line he has here where he's talking shit about Deadpool, and it's he's like, he's standing right behind you, isn't he? And it's the joke is on
Cable.
Cable. He's talking about Cable. He's like, he's standing right behind you, isn't he? And the three characters don't even realize that he's standing behind, but clearly fucking Deadpool can see him.
Yeah.
And the basic instincts joke.
Yeah, but they showed it this time.
Fucking dick, dude. Yeah. Did they show his dick?
I didn't see his dick.
Oh, his dick's there.
There's something there. I mean, it happens. There's definitely motion in there. I wasn't like, oh, it's clearly a dick, but you know what it is. You're saying.
In the super longer, whatever it's called, they like show it for a second. It was disturbing.
I remember seeing it. Interesting.
Cable shows up. He confesses everything that's happening, right? This kid's going to, fucking Raymond's going to kill everybody and then get a sitcom that runs a really long time, but he's going to kill everybody and lead to the end of, fucking bad mutants. I'm here to kill him in his crib, finish it off. Why didn't you go back further? It's hard for me to control. I came back here. I only got enough juice for two jumps. That's lazy writing. That's funny. But they agree to team up and take down this guy as long as Deadpool gets 30 seconds to try to talk Raymond out of being a bad guy. Because once he kills once, he's got the taste for blood, and that's the end of it. We can't save him. He's going to be a horrible, horrible person. All right. We know he's going to get the headmaster and fuck it with this weird orphanage where they're experimenting with people. Essex, right? You said?
Essex, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We go there. We're all in the fucking car, which I enjoy quite a bit. I've totally skipped over one of my favorite jokes that is running throughout it is the Black Tom thing or whatever. Where you kill Black Tom. Maybe it was Black Tim. I don't remember, but I know he's an African American.
Oh my God.
All the inside jokes too of Cable just being super racist. And he's like, I'm not racist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, can you turn off the music? And he's like, no, no, turn off the music.
And when he calls her Black Widow.
I didn't hear that. I didn't catch that one.
So good.
All the
we get some fun stuff of them in the car. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say all the racist jokes were some of my favorite things.
Sure, no, it's great.
Yeah.
We're in the car. We're having fun. We drive over to the X Mansion where Deadpool's like, "I need help," and does the little John Cusack thing with his boombox.
Yeah, the say anything.
Peter Gabriel. Yeah. Colossus won't be hearing it though. Yukiko's there though, along with Nega, Sika, Tonic, Warhead. Mm-hmm.
Great. Close to that time,
huh? Close to that time.
Yeah. Colossus in the extended cutscene calls her NTW
or whatever the fuck
he calls her NTW.
Yeah,
and it's just like I've never heard that.
It's good.
And it reminded me of Tim's SLJ.
Remember that? We all stopped at full stop.
What about SLJ?
They don't come out though, so whatever. We're going out. Drive the cab all the way up there to the orphanage. They get out there. Everybody's gonna go fight. Dopinder comes running too. They have their little moment of walking. Deadpool makes fun of Cable's teddy bear, to which he grabs him and he's like, "No, motherfucker, it's my kids." And it's fucking dark. And Deadpool's like, "Oh man, I wish I could retcon that." They walk up shortly behind Juggernaut and Raymond, who have already made it to the front door. They've had the conversation there about Xavier. Kind of. They call out. Juggernaut comes over to fight them. Raymond chases the headmaster inside. We're into the heat of the action here. This is the finale of the third act.
Get ready for a CG fight scene.
Yeah. And so Juggernaut is there and they're fighting. Is this Juggernaut hits him through the window right into the kid's house where the kid's eating food, and he signs the box of Wheaties that has Hugh Jackman.
That was way earlier.
That was when he first got there. Russell knocked him out.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to get to the whole like superhero landing thing. That was funny. I like that.
Yeah, that was a good moment.
I don't remember how then. Everybody starts shooting Juggernaut, but it's not working real well. But all three of them are working on Juggernaut for a second.
Yeah, then Colossus comes in to save the day.
Right. Yeah, I just feel like Juggernaut should have ripped them all in half real quick, but no big deal.
You can do that.
That's it. They're all out there shooting them. Colossus shows up. They start fighting. Big old CG fight, as you call that. Meanwhile, Raymond's still running through. They end up in like the hall where he's like, "Just fucking say what you said to me when you said the thing." And like, we see he's getting tagged on his
Bill Cosby.
That's how he used to fucking sound.
So the whole time during this fight scene, it's the choir music that's like explaining everything that's happening. It's like, "Holy shit balls, Juggernaut, kicking ass," like just going through all that stuff. Yeah. And it's the first film score in history to receive a parental advisory warning. Explicit content.
Nice. Yeah,
that makes sense.
For, I, I don't like in any respect ever saying something you said earlier of it being try hard, right? Like, I don't like that. I hate it when people say I'm a try hard on the internet. Like, yeah, I'm trying hard. It's my job. I want to be entertaining or whatever. This is a moment where I'm like, this is a bit too much for even me. When
the
I'm
music?
Watching. Yeah.
Oh,
I was just like, I don't need this right here. I'm glad it works.
It was a bit overdone.
Comedy's not whatever. For, you know, everybody's comedy is going to be different on what they liked or didn't like. That was definitely one for me in the theaters. And then last night, I was just like, all right, fucking
I love it.
Go. And even last night watching this, granted, I've seen the movie before. But at this point, even I was like, all right. Let's go a little bit quicker here. Yeah. Like I'm not having a great time right now.
2:15 flew right by.
They run through, they're fighting. Come on out. You know, there's more fights. It seems like the kid's gonna go nuclear and burn the dude. Caleb Caleb Lawson's there with Deadpool. Now Deadpool and Cable are hiding behind the slide. Deadpool walks over, tries to talk him down, gets burned, gets into the black and white Deadpool mm-hmm. suit. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. I like that we get the scene with Zazie Beetz where she fucks up all the guards. And like cuts the guy's head off and all that shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How am I getting all these kids out of here? I need a bus.
I need a bus.
The bus comes through. Which yeah. Great.
Everyone she's from there too, by the way. This was her cosmic reason for being involved in all right. these shenanigans because she sense. Was tortured here too. But she's got a great outlook on it. She just doesn't care. She's yeah. like, whatever. I'm
she's
lucky.
Awesome.
Yeah. She kills all these guys in grotesque and cool ways. Where the one like when the one guy got pinned on the bed. I remember in the theater hurt. And I remember it last night of just being like, well, he's gonna get out of that. And then the fucking thing falls and like decapitates him. You're like, and all the kids clap. They're all so stoked. It's like that's pretty fucking great. Meanwhile, yeah, back outside, though. Cable's seen enough. This isn't going to happen. He's about to burn the dude. He goes to shoot him. Deadpool jumps. Deadpool had already put on the restraining collar to be like, hey, this is my thing. I'm going to try to fucking prove to you all this shit. He jumps in front, takes the bullet. He goes down. Oh, my God. That stops the Raymond from killing people. He walks over there. Deadpool starts saying his goodbyes again. And this, a joke that you're talking about that goes on way too long, I feel, personally, is this whole thing where, again, I was just like, all right, talk, and it stops, and then it does it again.
He's so good at it, though. He just stops. Oh, I can't.
I just love you all so much, I can't go.
One of my least favorite jokes is we just pass it as a, damn, it feels good to be a gangster. Like, I hate that. Yeah. It reminds me of, like, that night, that like late, early 2000s trope of, like, let's have this nerdy guy say something kind of hood. I hate that shit.
I feel the first time I watched it, I had the similar thoughts, but like, I don't know. I guess he just grew on me. Like I tweeted at me that like, that has to do more with the character he played in the first.
That's what I
and
heard.
It's just like, well, I didn't watch that movie, so.
Wait, in the first?
In the
Hunt for the Wildebeests.
Oh, okay. There's like a main character in it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. While we're here, just real quick, I did really appreciate and like when Dopinder in the walk up turned around and ran the other way. When Juggernaut's like, I'm going to shove that guy up your ass. He's like, hey, man, I'm going to go wait in the car.
I liked a little the trope of the teddy bear, by the way, and I think you mentioned it, but I just wanted to. This is my first time noticing that when he holds it up, it's not charred anymore. And I was like, oh, that's a cool way of knowing that we did the thing, which is cool. And then I also didn't catch the first chime that he only had two like charges for it. So him going back and resetting this part where he saves Deadpool is like kind of screws him over from going home, which is interesting.
Doesn't make any sense.
It's lazy. They even make a joke about it. It's lazy writing. I only have two charges for this, and then Deadpool fucking fixes it with Yukio's help. Sorry, we'll get to there.
As you have said, all that stuff happened. Cable sees the teddy bear, understands it's all fine, uses his charge to go back in time to getting out of the cab, and at which point, with sleight of hand, like a magician, like an illusionist,
puts the lead coin in his pocket stolen earlier that we forgot to mention.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, well, whatever. Yeah, okay.
It's not a big deal.
We've mentioned the lead coin, and people know about it.
No, I know.
But yeah, he put it in his fanny pack. And he didn't call it a fanny pack. And like, remember when TJ Miller was like, it's a fanny pack, and you know it. He's like, I'm going to put it in my utility belt, but he didn't say utility belt, but my utility belt. And he's like, it's a fanny pack, and you know it. Slips it in there. We get all the things. He jumps in front of the bullet. The bullet, of course, hits the token. Does not kill Deadpool, but still shows Raymond that he was ready to give his life. This is the F word they chose, ladies and gentlemen. Let's all be fucking lovey-dovey. Oh, we held a thing where he went back to Vanessa, obviously, when he died the first time, and actually got to walk through and become regular Ryan Reynolds and talk, and I thought that was cool. And then when she started, he's like, what's wrong? And she's like, you're going to get sent. This, like, for me, this scene, I get choked up at. Sad, yeah. I get super choked up at when I was, because it's just, I guess not, I'm sad. And then when he's leaving and she's like, you know, kiss me like you miss me, like, ah, like that is like such a fucking heartbreaker of imagining his existence of how many years it's going to be to get back to that moment with her, even though he's about to blink it out of existence. Who cares?
That's great.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was a cool scene. Most emotional scene in the movie for me. Then he comes back. All the shit that happened. All right, great. Blah, blah, blah. Pure lead. But Cable, you waste your charge. Yeah, I'm going to stick around here making sure you guys don't fucking skull fuck the earth or whatever. Yeah, all right, great. Caleb's in my wife. Your fucking whole point is to see your fucking family. Whatever. Whatever.
Dude, I love
need
this,
an X-Force movie.
But I love this part, right? After all that's said and done, the bald guy's still alive.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, nobody's going to kill him. You got to be better than this guy. And then Dope Pinder runs over. He's like, I was trying to keep a straight face. Yeah, yeah.
You come in 30 seconds. Come in for like 30 seconds. Yeah.
It's another callback so to the one prior where he just fucking shoots the guy in the head.
Yeah.
Juggernaut's still alive, too.
Yeah, he gets out of the water.
And they all just, by the way, I love that they all just bone out. They're like, we're not. He's getting up. Let's get the fuck out of here before he gets
up. I didn't realize
like,
that in the first movie. Yeah, the first time we saw it.
Yeah.
I don't remember him moving. The first time,
yeah.
I feel like at the end, as they're walking,
he gets out of the water.
I also just don't even remember the line of like, "We got to go before he wakes up."
Yeah.
That's really irresponsible.
Yeah,
just out. Hey man, they're not here.
Colossus.
We totally glossed over shoving up his ass and zapping him, and Colossus having like the ding in his head. I liked that.
Losing a tooth.
And also still funny too, like, you know what I mean, fuck, what did he tell her? Oh, don't fuck Elvis or whatever. She's like, don't fuck Colossus. He's like, what? He goes full of that all the way through. That's funny.
Yeah, it's worth noting in the extended version, that scene where he gets the fucking spike through his head. Gets a lot more graphic.
Oh really?
A lot more graphic. God, yeah. It's really funny.
Is he touching the dick?
He goes down and tries to pull his pants down. Was that in this one?
No.
He literally is like, he gives him a blowjob look first, and Colossus puts him down, and he just keeps going down, like grabs his pants, and Colossus brings him back up and takes
that's
the thing
funny,
out.
That's funny.
Did we not get the unicorns? Like the little dream unicorns? No.
That was just the first movie. That was the first one.
Oh, okay, all right.
And then, he has a family now, X-Force, whatever. Credits, we go into the credits, and then the mid-credit scene is, teenage supersonic nuclear warhead and Yukiko working on the little device, Cable's device. They figured out how to make it unlimited charge, great, whatever. They toss it to Deadpool, he runs away, and they're like, this is a terrible idea. I made a huge mistake.
So
he goes back and saves Vanessa by killing the guy with the sharpened cheese spreader and doesn't shoot wide this time. Goes back further and takes care of the Deadpool version in Wolverine X-Men Origins Wolverine, goes back further and kills Ryan Reynolds as he reads the first Green Lantern script.
Says,
"You're welcome, Canada." And then for me, that's it.
Yeah, and then we just got Hitler. And that was the only other.
Sounds interesting.
It felt like the Wolverine Origins thing was longer than the original cut.
We had Wolverine talk in this.
Yeah,
one.
Wolverine talks in mine too.
He says something, and then they make a joke where Ryan Reynolds is like, "Yeah, maybe we'll team up sometime.
That doesn't
we'll get you in our movie, like something like that."
And he's like, "Huh? Yeah, really?
He says something about reprising the role. He's like, "Maybe we'll get you back. Reprise the role or something like that." And then he walks out and shoots the fucking thing like five more times.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's great.
Funny shit.
Yeah,
love it.
And that's the movie.
That's the fucking movie. You guys ready for it?
Stun-dun-dun-dun-dun-down.
Ragu.
Stun-dun-dun-dun-dun-down.
Bagu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Ragu Bagu Vids. That's Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys. You can run our Patreon. Our Twitter. If you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny for $69, you can tweet whatever you want from the Ragu Bagu Vids account. Big day for us here on Ragu Bagu. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside my one and only co-host, Andy Cortez.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm just a rad guy here to talk a bad guy.
Andy, this is our last time we will ever run through all 31, it'll turn Jesus out to be.
Because
when this is over, we are retiring the list. If you remember, it is the MCU Ragu Bagu Vids list, combined with the other movies we've reviewed since then, combined with the XCU in review thing, which sounded like a funny gimmick and quickly became annoying for us, not you. I don't know if you like this or not. So when we come back for Spider-Man, we're restarting the list. It'll be Ragu Bagu Vids Spider-Man Edition. And we'll do it that way from here on out. Currently, the standings for these bad guys are: number 30, these fucks from Thor 2. Number 29, these ducks from Wolverine. Number 28, Abomination. 27, Apocalypse, duh. 26, Ronin from Guardians. 25, Cross from Ant-Man. 24, that lady from Ghost. 23, Magneto/Phoenix X3. Number 22, Loki, Thor. Number 21, Obadiah. Number 20, Mandrake/Aldrich. Number 19, the Vision from Solo. Number 18, Mask/Dormammu. Number 17, Magneto Brotherhood. Number 16, the Dink, Sentinels. Number 15, Rockwell/Mickey. Number 14, Red Skull. Number 13, Francis Angel Deadpool. Number 12, Ultron and Ultron. Number 11, Hydra, Captain America, Winter Soldier. Number 10, Stryker. Number 9, Pierce Logan X-24. Number 8, Baconator First Class. Number 7, Ego Guardians 2. Number 6, Hell/Grand Mask Thor Rag. Number 5, Loki Avengers. Number 4, Bacon Guy Civil War. Number 3, MBJ Black Panther. Number 2, The Vulture. Number 1, Thanos, AIW. Andy Cortez, who are we ranking? what, we're putting fucking Raymond?
Juggernaut and
Juggernaut?
And old Russell?
And old Russell.
Right?
Essex the school? The Essex
people.
School?
Essex
people. The like, more people we add, I just think the shittier it gets.
Yeah, you're right, you're right. I think like below Loki from Thor, maybe. No, maybe below Cross from Ant-Man. No, you know what? Below Ronan from Guardians, number 27.
So you're saying put him at 27. That would put the only people worse we've seen are Apocalypse, Abomination, these fucks from Thor, these fucks from Thor 2.
I like Ronan more.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. That's good picking.
What are you going to call it? Doesn't matter, does it? You're not going to read the list
exactly.
Again.
I'm going to put doesn't matter Deadpool 2.
End of list.
DP 2. DM DP 2.
Now let's make that a poster and sell it. So much history there.
Done. Perfect. So much history.
All right, now it's time to rank the X-Men Cinematic Universe once and for all the movies that are out currently. Cool, Greg. Please bring it up. Number 1, we have Logan. Number 2, X-Men Days of Future Past. Number 3, Deadpool. Number 4, The Wolverine. Number 5, X-Men First Class. Number 6, X2. Number 7, X-Men Apocalypse. Number 8, X-Men The Last Stand. Number 9, X-Men. Number 10, X-Men Origins. Wolverine. Where does Deadpool 2 fit? I think that Deadpool 1 and 2 are interchangeable. I feel like they both have pros and cons. And while I think Deadpool 1 is a better movie front to back, I feel like Deadpool 2, with the expanded cast and with the choices it took, I think really succeeds at what it's trying to do. And for it being a sequel, I cannot believe how funny and good it was. Because of that, I would say I'd give it a nod over Deadpool 1.
I agree with you that Deadpool is a better movie front to back. And that's why I would say Deadpool at 3, number 4, Deadpool 2.
I go with the same. Deadpool at number 3, Deadpool 2 at number 4.
It's the normal thing I think we see in all these movies where the next one starts getting broader, which can be good or bad. And I feel like it just didn't get broader in a way that made me believe in the universe. That's a weird way to say it, but I believe in the universe of Deadpool 2 as much as I believe in the universe of Deadpool 1.
My thing is with Deadpool, I think Deadpool 2 is just a skosh better than Deadpool. And the reason being is I think that the reason for him doing all of the things he did in Deadpool 1 was so thin. And it's just a little less thin in this one. Like the kid, the family, all the themes. I feel like this just has a lot more depth, which is weird to say about a Deadpool movie.
I feel like both of them have depth. Like
they, yeah, but I just feel like that. This one had a lot more. I just think it had a lot more to it. So that's why I'd give a subtle nod to Deadpool 2 over Deadpool.
I mean, because of that, for me, I think it's number 2 overall.
Yeah, I agree with Tim. I think overall it should be number 2. I think it's a fantastic movie.
You're going to put it above X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah. I think so.
I wouldn't go that far.
I think it succeeds at what it's trying to do better than Days of Future Past did.
This is like the first sequel sequel that we're like, man, what a good job connecting to the last movie where you didn't cut out a whole bunch of shit like they did in X-Men, Days of Future Past.
That's fine, but I don't think
as like a universe, like I feel like those two movies create the strongest universe out of all of this.
Very true.
I mean, they do and they don't, right? The only reason why they create everything is because there are no rules in this and they can do whatever they want, which
very true.
But they still stick to those rules, though. I think that's the beauty of it.
Until they retcon all the rules at the end of it. But
I feel like that's following the rules that this...
The only rule is there are no rules.
Yeah, but they live by that, though.
Again, we have to judge these two by two separate metrics, right? Like, X-Men Days of Future Past, to me, was just a good start-to-finish, like,
comic book movie.
Deadpool is a satire on comic book movies. I could understand why you would like that more than Days of Future Past. I just think Days of Future Past is a cooler, like a better version of what an X-Men movie should be.
I mean, my thing is what an X-Men movie should be is dope ass action scenes. And I feel like Deadpool 2 especially has way better choreography than Days of Future Past does.
Mm. Yeah, I think this movie, I think part one captured exactly what it needed to. And this one did too, but we already saw part one, so that's why I wasn't as high on it as part
one. That's a good point of putting it.
I feel like
it's one of those for me. Any given Sunday, it could change between. Do I think it's bad? But I don't think it's better than Days of Future Past. So I put it at 4. I'd vote 4.
I think it had such a tough task of like trying to outdo part one.
Yeah,
and
the fact that it even gets close or does, it says a lot about it.
Yeah.
All right, time to vote. Who thinks it's better than number four, the Wolverine? All of us raise our hand. Who think it's better than number three, Deadpool? Me, Kevin, and Nick raise our hands. Who think it's better than number two, X-Men Days of Future Past?
Me, yeah, Kevin, Tim.
Raise our hand. The final ranking of the X-Men cinematic universe so far. Number one, Logan. Number two, X-Men Days of Future Past. Number three, Deadpool 2. Number four, Deadpool. Number five, The Wolverine. Number six, X-Men First Class. Number seven, X2. Number eight, X-Men Apocalypse. Number nine, X-Men The Last Stand. Number 10, X-Men. And number 11, where it fucking belongs. X-Men Origins. Wolverine.
It's almost like we should leave that one off because it's so bad.
Gentlemen, it's been quite the journey.
What a ride.
I think they would agree to.
A lot of bad fucking movies there.
A lot of bad fucking movies here.
Yeah, when you look at it, where do you think... This is where I would start recommending people watch. You know what I mean? Like, this is your first movie. I mean, you look at our top 10. Are you saying at number 6, X2 is where you'd be like, this is where you should finally start watching? Number 5, X-Men First Class. Number 4, The Wolverine.
I think if you were to be like, hey, Nick, what X-Men movie should I watch? I'd be like, Logan, Deadpool, and Deadpool 2.
Yep.
Me, too.
Yep.
And maybe throw an X-Men Days of Future Past, but you'll have zero context for it. So don't even bother watching it.
No, that's it. There's only 3 great movies here. Otherwise.
Womp womp.
Next up, we're going to be doing the Sony Spider-Man movies, not counting Homecoming, even though it's half Sony. That
everyone knows Homecoming
weird.
Is going to be the best.
But like I said earlier, Tobey Maguire movies, Andrew Goldfarb movies.
Yeah.
And then eventually we'll do Venom and Into the Spider-Verse. But until then,
have an exciting day.